Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Thank you so much for joining us on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. And this is time for Movers and Shakers once more. And for the very first time on the show, we've got somebody who's coming back to give us yet more info. Imagine, this is the first time this is happening, but it is happening. Well, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a lady that the last time I spoke to her, I did mention that she does a whole lot of stuff. Okay, I had a whole list of things that she does. And today she's coming back wearing one of her many hats. All right. So who am I talking about? In case you could be wondering, well, I'm talking about our favorite cousin herself, Sympathy Ngwenya Sibanda, one of the very few people I know who's privileged to have two surnames. All right. So, Ngwenya, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much. I do love the idea of saying this is the first time it has happened. I love being a groundbreaker. Thank you.
Breaking new ground. And I'm sure this is something that is you are so used to, man. Like I did say, you do a whole lot of stuff. So how's everything that you do?
I praise God. Everything is really great. And, you know, as long as you're alive, you know, all these things will be added unto you.
All right. And I still remember very well, you did say that I use my hands, my mind, and my, must be your head. All right. So it's great that you're making all use of all three, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I am so encouraged by, thank you very much for, you know, talking to me the last time, because I really got a lot of like highs and, you know, we loved this. You know, that feedback just keeps you pushing, because sometimes you're doing things and you don't know if someone is listening or someone is even seeing. But when you then get people saying, you know, you touched my life in this way, I mean, that's impact.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful right there. So this evening, we are back here talking about one of the many things that you do, and I'm sure you've got a whole lot of passion on this particular one, which is writing. And I understand you are the founder of the Women's Writers Association. All right, so I'm trying to put the actual name is what? Women's Writers Association Africa, please put it straight. I don't want to mess things up.
You already messed it up, but I'll forgive you. All right, so it's the Women Writers Support Network Africa.
Okay.
Yes, which is an initiative that was founded to use writing as a therapy. It's not something new, because even in the Bible, we were told to write, you know, write these things so that people remember, write these things so that people know what they're expected to do, write these things so that, you know, we know how we're supposed to live. So it's just using writing as a therapy, because writing is very affordable and it's accessible to a lot of people. So it's simply using words to heal.
Okay. So the Women's Writers Support Network Africa. I got it right this time. All right. So why would you want to just send her around women? Why are you leaving us men out?
All right. I've always like worked as a humanitarian and working with women, and I have witnessed firsthand what women go through. I'm not saying that men do not need healing, because men do need healing. And for us, we are taking men not as perpetrators, but as people that we're supposed to work with so that we achieve what we want, which is healing and parity. So mainly why I center around women is women programming, is because I have also witnessed firsthand, and I have a passion for uplifting women. And also because when you uplift a woman, she's not going to leave her husband and her sons and her uncles behind. She is a conduit for that. Have you ever, even the Bible says, Auntie, it's better to live at the corner of the house than live, just to paraphrase, than live with a woman who scorned.
Yes.
It shows that. Yes. You know, a woman can be so bitter. If a woman is unhealed, if a woman is really like cranky, Mumbaimo mamo garike, or that house will be so bitter. So imagine if it's a nation where a woman is not healed, how bitter that nation will be. Imagine if it's a church and that a woman is leading and they're not healed, how much poison she will be able to give to everyone. So heal a woman, heal the nation, heal the church.
After all, it's the woman who takes care of the home. And if the woman is not healed, or she's not in the right state of mind, that means that it will also transcend to the kids as well, isn't it? So I'm thinking, surely we need to make sure that our women are okay, they're well taken care of, and they're in the right space, even mentally as well. Wow. So that's beautiful. That is beautiful right there, Sympathy. So Women's Writers Support Network Africa. You did touch on the fact that you're talking about healing. So if you can get in depth about the work that you are doing and how it is benefiting the women that you're working with.
Right. Thank you very much for that question. So, you know, basically, we have a mandate to provide healing first to the inner child, because we believe that everyone walking today, some of the reactions that we have subconsciously and even sometimes when we are aware are because of the child in us that sometimes hasn't been healed. And if you don't get your healing, you are going to bleed on innocent people. You will not build viable relationships, like even relationships in terms of romantically, in relationships in terms of work, and even just relationships in terms of the church. You realize that there are people that carry a lot of bitterness, not because they are wrong, but because things happened to them and they never got to heal. So you need to heal the inner child. And also about networking, sometimes most women don't talk. In Shona, there is a saying that says "usafukura hapa," like keep everything hidden. Like, do not air out your dirty laundry. Do not tell people that you slept on an empty stomach. Do not tell people that your husband is beating you up. Oh my goodness, he's an elder. He's your husband and he's beating you up. Do not tell people. Like, just pray for him. You know, hide in your closet and things like that. So we have encouraged this. This behavior and culture, actually it's a culture, we have encouraged this culture of silence. But what we are saying at the Women Writers Support Network is that we need to talk. Talk about it. And if you talk about it, you're going to enact change. And you're going to realize that you're not the only one that's going through this. Because most of the times women suffer in silence and in silos, where you're just thinking, I am on my own island and I'm the only one that goes through this. But when you then share with Mary, and then Mary says, ah, I've gone through this and this is how I conquered. Because when it comes to our group, like our membership, there are people that are very young and there we have adults to maybe in their 80s, you know, who have seen it all. Will tell you that I'm an angle, you know, my child, you know, this is nothing to sweat about. This is how you go about it, not just in your social life, but also in your business, in the politics of the nation, in the economics. So we encourage networking, talking about it. And sometimes we just do what we call the crying days, where people just gather and just cry. Seriously, that is important because it's so overwhelming. You know, you get to a point where you feel like, I am so tired, I'm so overwhelmed, and the arrows are coming from every place. And you don't have that place and chance to just sit and be in your feels. So we allow you to get into your feels, to really feel that, you know what, I am so tired of taking care of everyone, of taking care of everyone else's mental health except my own. It's time for me to get in tune with myself. So these are just some of them, but there is a lot that is seemingly small and big as well.
So for how long have you been doing this?
We actually turned two this year, so we're actually going to hold celebrations.
That is beautiful. So I guess maybe somebody would go like, oh, she's promoting healing. So why choose writing in particular? What are the benefits of using writing as a form of healing?
First of all, very affordable and accessible. In our African context, we don't value therapy.
Yes, to say that, okay, you
have to go and talk to the therapist. Someone's like, oh, why should I share my problems with someone else? Mm. So the first thing is writing is really, really accessible and affordable to everyone. Second of all, it provides anonymity, or it provides that secrecy that most people want, because most people don't want to air out some of their things that they're going through. So when you write, and then writing actually is proven psychologically or scientifically, in the social science field, it's proven that the moment that you touch your pen and make it meet the paper, and vomit your words out. That process just does things to you. It triggers your emotions positively, you know, because you are airing out whatever is going through your mind, through your heart, there on paper. And that process provides healing, right? So writing is something that has been used for a very long time, but people haven't been like really advocating for it a lot, because it's something that feels like, just writing does that, but it does that. And you don't have to be very good at it. You just have, as long as you can speak this way, your feelings out, you can also write your feelings down.
So are there any particular styles of writing that you guys use, or is just as long as I'm writing something? I don't know. Is there a way that you teach people, or you just go like, you know what, whatever you're thinking, just put it on paper? Or I don't know, are you going to do it as some sort of a poem or something? Or I don't know, is it going to be a composition, comprehension, tell us about your day, or I don't know, something like that? What kind of a style do you really use when you're, you know, undertaking this?
So I'll answer this in two parts. First of all, I'll just say that there are so many styles, like you're saying, there's so many styles of writing that are out there. And when we started, what we did was we held masterclasses where we are teaching people to write in different ways. So we would partner. What we did was we partnered with a lot of like people that have done so much in terms of writing. So this, for example, there is Dr. Chirere, Memory Chirere. He's an award-winning writer of short stories, and he's also a lecturer at the University of Zimbabwe. So he came through and he trained people to write short stories.
Okay.
And then you have people like Philip Chidabayenzi, who is well known for writing novels, like Christian-based novels.
Okay.
So he trained people to do that. So we trained people. There are so many people who then trained poetry. There are some who trained songwriting, different types of even developmental writing, even news article writing.
Okay.
So that someone just recognizes where they are. They then identify to say, okay, I think I'm more in tune with the poetry, or I would love to write songs, or I would love to write. I just want to write. And someone will just say, I just want to write. Someone wants to write a blog. Someone wants to write scripts for movies. We had that. We had people that trained, because we have, like, our trainers are people that have also, like, done so well. They have movies running on different, you know, media outlets. So we called the who's and who's to also come and train people.
All right.
So it's not just one particular style of writing. A person can then choose which one they want, or all of them. There's no restriction, because no one is going to say, I want you to write this. Even cookbooks, you know.
Oh, okay.
Because do you know there are people that are so good at creating recipes, you know, and finding their own healing there. It's not just about healing. It's also, as I said, about networking. It's also about getting an income. That's another part of it.
Okay.
To say that, you know, people, writing is a whole industry that can sustain a livelihood. And sometimes some women stay in abusive situations because they're thinking, who will take care of me? Who will give me anything? But when they then have like an income, they're able to advocate for themselves. They're able to stand for themselves to say, I can't be abused like this. Yes. So it's also a way of making money for yourself.
All right.
Yes.
No, that's beautiful. I think let me dwell upon writing itself for a minute. You find that a lot of people would always say, if you want to hide something from an African, put it in a book. It seems like we do not have that much of a writing, reading culture. You know, you can actually ask somebody, when was the last time you read a book? And they don't even know. Probably the days they were at school. Okay. So how on are you now advocating? Are you not having a bit of a resistance? You know how it is generally, because people don't like reading and writing. Is it an issue whereby you're going to have to start by encouraging the writing and reading culture within people? And then we look at the healing side of it.
So, Malvin, I'll just tell you, I feel like I'm a pro-African woman. Mm. I am a proudly African woman. And I believe, strongly believe, that statement was coined by someone who didn't know Africans at all.
Mm.
It was coined by someone, it's a stereotype.
Mm.
Because the people that I know love books so much. The people that I know are always like holding a certain book in a public transport, even when they're flying, they're always carrying a book. The people that I know always carry a book in their handbag. The people that I know have downloaded a lot of books on their phone. The people that I know share books over time. The people that I know buy books from the streets, from the bookshops, buy newspapers, they're reading everywhere. So I feel like that is so stereotypical because the people that I know, the Africans that I've met read.
Mm.
So there is no resistance with that. Actually, the resistance that I get is the books are not enough. I've had people saying, Sympathy, you are a publisher. The books are not enough.
Mm.
So I'm always like advocating for people to write even more.
Mm.
So that is a stereotype, and I'm not part of that.
Okay. Miss Sympathy strongly refuse that statement. Well, I guess maybe the times have changed, and maybe that's an old statement from I don't know when, but Miss Sympathy is like, no. All right. So the healing side, Sympathy, that's what I'm trying to, I want to delve into now. Do people really need healing? And then maybe somebody will go like, healing from what exactly? You know what I mean? Some people maybe might not know. Because when you talk about healing, a lot of people talk about physical healing. Of course, if I'm injured, well, there's a whole need for healing. But this is a different side of healing, I think, that you're dealing with. Why do they need healing? And what are they healing from, so to say? And this healing that you say is being provided by writing.
Right. We are all, you know, broken. In a way, because we are sinners, we're broken in a way, but also because we have gone through different experiences in our lives, we are all broken in a different way, you know. So everyone needs a certain level of healing in a different way. And like we mentioned when we're starting out that we need to heal the inner child. Emotionally right now, you know, like you mentioned, you know, physically you look at a wound and you're like, okay, I need to put a band-aid here. I need to apply, you know, this and that. I need to take tablets and things like that because there's somewhere where it hurts and you can actually see. But when you look at emotional damage, when you look at the wounds of the heart, these are not apparent. These are not things that you can look at and see a bleeding heart, you know. Yeah. So these are the ones that most people, you know, will see as reactions or as consequences. You see someone crying by themselves and you're wondering what happened. But this may be something that has happened maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
You meet somebody and you see them. Okay, you say good morning to someone, they don't even look at you. They're like walking stone first, and you're like, what happened? And maybe it's something that happened. They lost a relative. You know, I remember in our group, someone was saying that, I don't know how to feel. I lost my whole family from the Chimanimani cyclone. Yes. You know, that thing just washed away people. And some people never got to bury their relatives.
Yes.
You start wondering, where are they? What happened? Like, you know, you start blaming yourself. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I take them to Harare with me? Or something like that. You know, you need healing. And no one's going to... These are some of the things, like, you can't say, I understand your pain, because you don't understand their pain.
Yes.
You've never lost someone to such a tragedy. So that's an example. You have people that have been locked in a space and been abused by more than five men or things like that. You can't say, I understand your pain, but you can also just provide a way for them to start healing themselves. There are people who have been raped as children, and they've never been able to say to anyone else. Now they're adults and they're thinking, I blame myself. I shouldn't have grown up. I shouldn't have done this and that. They blame themselves then. They still blame themselves when they're abused right now, you know. So these are so many, there are so many examples. And, you know, the humbling thing is, everyone needs healing. That's the most humbling thing. As long as you are a human being and you're living on this earth, no matter who you are, no matter how many crowns you wear, you need some form of healing, because there are things that you need, that you feel like, I wish these things had never happened. I wish these things could be... You know, there are times when I'm like to myself, I wish I had amnesia and just forget, you know, selective amnesia, where I'll just forget maybe 2 years of my life or something like that. You know, there are people who are going through that. So, Malvin, we need healing. We need healing. Like, everyone needs it. It's an emergency. Yeah.
All right. So, in writing now, how exactly does force that is healing in somebody? How does writing exactly heal me from my childhood wounds, from whatever trauma that I could have faced in life?
So the first thing is accepting that something happened to you and documenting it. Like the what I mentioned, to say the process of just your pen meeting the paper, that in itself is the starting point, you know. And then the second thing is, like I've mentioned, accepting that this happened to you and then writing it down. I remember that at the time I'd been in denial that something happened to me, and it's something that I just pushed away from my mind. Like, it happened when I was young, and I'm like, no. But that thing, you know, but when you then say, okay, sympathy, let's face the facts here. This thing happened, and you start writing it, you shock yourself to say, okay, so I went through this, and you accept what happened to you, because you write it and you read, you go through it, and you're like, okay, so this happened to me. So it's up to you then to share it with another person in whatever format. Sometimes it's in a book, sometimes you fictionalize it, you make it a movie, sometimes you make it a song. You know, how many songs have you heard where someone is singing it, you're like, okay, did someone go through that? You know, did they actually go through that? Or they're writing about other people, and some people will tell you, no, it's not my experience, it's someone else's, you know, things like that. But, you know, whatever you do with it is up to you. And for some, and even with therapists, they use this, they employ this initiative. They can say that, now burn. Now burn the words. You know, so you can actually burn the words. As they're burning, you're feeling like, okay, I'm burning my feelings. I am burning. I am forgiving. I am letting go. So, Malvin, I'll give an example. There's a story that really touches me. Like, there are so many gruesome stories that are happening in our country every day. But this story touches me. I mean, it touched me a lot, and it still does. So, do you know when everyone is... just a trigger away from being in prison. Everyone is just a trigger away from committing the biggest crime. Everyone is just a trigger away from committing suicide. Everyone is just a trigger away from committing homicide, and a lot of other sides, you know. But sometimes what we then do when we're triggered helps. The first few minutes after a trigger help. So follow me. There is a lady who, I think she didn't, according to the reports, she didn't know that her husband was cheating. So she found out. Apparently, they had supported each other, you know, the rags to riches kind of stories, you know, most of couples would know. So they had supported each other and everything. And then now the husband was cheating and the woman found out. The first few minutes after the triggered really led her to do the unspeakable. She rushed home or to the supermarket, and then they had four children. You know what she did? She fed them poison. Maybe she put it in a drink or something. I'm not so sure. So she fed her children that poison. And when she had seen that they were suffering so much and weren't dying, she slit their throats. Like, I'm thinking, this is a woman who has pushed these children out of her, who has carried them for a considerable time and has pushed them out of her and has taken care of them. Do you know those blessings? Four of them, she slit their throats and watched them die because she was triggered. And after that, she tried to kill herself, but well, it didn't happen. She didn't. So I believe if something, an intervention had happened during those triggering minutes, so much change would have happened. Now she was given life in prison. She'll never see her children. They passed away. She'll never see the husband that she was, you know, allegedly fighting for. You know, and you know, in our African context, people start saying, you know, people start rushing there. But honestly, if you're listening, you could be that woman. Whether you're a man, you could also be that woman who does the unthinkable. So here comes the writing part. While we may think that, okay, maybe you are in a rage so much that you're not thinking, there is a difference that writing could make to this. If allegedly this woman had taken a pen and paper and started killing her family on paper, there would have been a difference. She could have just written, drawn or whatever, a lot of things, colored them in red, blood all over, on paper. And then when she has poured herself out and start going through this, she might have started thinking properly. Allegedly, she might not have gone ahead and killed her children. Allegedly, she might not have lost her children and her family and whatever. Maybe they would have fought in different ways or whatever, but she probably would have, in the long run, found the healing she needs. I'm not saying this is the answer, but according to research, if you, during your triggered hours, triggered minutes, do, you know, write your feelings down, there's so much that could make a difference. And there are so many people. This is something that has been done by so many people, and they can testify.
Wow. Now, that one was a touching story, I must say. That's the one that's happening. I think the woman was from Chivu, right? Was it?
Yes.
Somewhere in here in Zimbabwe. And it was quite a story. And it said, actually, how things turned out. So maybe if I can ask, are there any success stories that you can share with us, you know, from your support network that you feel like these ones, they stand out?
Oh, my word. There's so many success stories. But what I can then say about the success stories is every time when we have testimonial times, you actually hear someone saying, I used to hate my parents. I didn't understand what they did to me. But now I understand them because I came to my thoughts. I wrote them down and I understood why they did what they did. Or probably I don't understand why they did what they did, but I forgive them. Yeah. So there are so many people who have found their healing, who are on a journey of forgiveness. I always think that forgiveness is not a place where you arrive at. It's a journey where you're just moving from one place to the other. One day you wake up and it doesn't hurt anymore. So I feel like we do have a lot of those. Mm. For example, we have people that took part in our first anthology, which is a collection of short stories by women members of the group. It was 15 of them who shared their stories, among them issues of marital rape, among them issues of abuse, among them issues of letting go, issues of baby dumping, a lot of issues that were shared. And you have people saying that, you know, by sharing my story, I felt like my life changed, you know. And you also have people that have bought the books telling you to say, that story touched me, you know, this touched me, or this helped me to speak up. So it's not just like it's a spiral. It's a spiral where you're like, you think you are touching one life, the life of just the person that's giving a testimony to say, when I shared my story, I healed. But it's also spiraling to a lot of people that are then reading this, these stories. So yes, we do have a lot of testimonials. And I think people would need to then buy the books to then find out for themselves than me preempting everything.
Wow. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. So now, of course, with the name of the organization now, Women's Support Network Africa, that means that you're now branching out into other countries. So how has been this growth, and which other countries are you now based in, or should we say, can we find this organization in?
So the preacher in me wants to preach. But I'm always saying that I pray the Jabez prayer every day to say, you know, enlarge my territory, you know, hold my hand and things like that. And I am so elated that we have branched into 5 more countries, Zimbabwe being the first, and so 5 extra countries. So that's 6 countries all in all. So we have Cameroon, we have Rwanda, we have Kenya, South Africa, and we have Namibia.
Wow.
I think that's it. So, you know, with the uniqueness of, there are things that are unique, and then there are things that are general. For example, we have people in Rwanda. They went through the genocide, and they look at the impact of the genocide, the things they went through. Up to now, they haven't healed on some level.
Yes.
But in also general, they also have things like the abuses that you face, you have sexual harassment, you have those things that are universal. I wish I didn't have to say universal problems, but these are things that we face, you know. So you then realize that the kind of approach that we will use, that we're using in Rwanda, is different from what we use in Kenya. Kenya also first, you know, they have issues, you know, in terms of we have those issues where Christians fight against Muslims and things like that. You have different things that people uniquely face in Kenya. So they need their own approaches and ways. But, you know, the beauty of it all is that we all need some form of healing. And writing is the way that it's a language that everyone can understand in whatever way they're going to do it. So I am so touched and so happy, and I'm above, you know, where you're it's an out of body experience when you're like, okay, God, thank you for using me. This is just something that started out small as a small flame right here. It's a small, you know, flame caused by a matchstick on, you know, Kasaid, right here in Zimbabwe. Now it's spreading like a world fire, you know, just everywhere. Yes.
No, that's nice. No, that is nice. And I'm hoping that if you are in any of these countries, I'm loving you are also in West Africa, you are in East Africa, you are right here in Southern Africa, Zimbabwe, South Africa. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. And hopefully that many people will engage and jump into this writing, train, and, you know, get the required healing, man. So what would you want to say to those maybe who haven't gotten into this yet and who might be wanting to do it, and maybe some are even hearing it for the first time? There's something like this. Okay, so what would you want to say to such people?
All right, so I'll say that look it up. When you've looked it up, look us up. And we will help you. Because sometimes, you know, trying to motivate people or trying to, you know, push people into it will be something that is like a tall order, because people are like, you know, writing, I don't have time or whatever. But, you know, journaling really, really helps. It really helps. I look at things that I've written before and I'm like, okay, right now, I'm like, okay, I was at this place, you know, 10 years ago, but here am I. So do your research and see how you'd want to do this. If you want to do it in a community, we have a place for you. And I also want to say that this, I mean, I just want to mention in a few minutes that this has also afforded us an opportunity to partner with different organizations. For example, what I'll mention in short is just the Embassy of the State of Palestine in Zimbabwe. We have partnered with them. They funded a project where we ran a competition to write stories in solidarity with the women in Palestine. And it really, really did well, because that book is now at the Library of Congress, which means it's accessed throughout the world. So the impact is not just something that you'll be able to control. What you'll be able to control is just the seeds that you put, but you'll not be able to control where else the impact goes. So if you want to start it, for those that are probably going to be listening from countries that we have not mentioned, or for the countries that we mentioned and would love to be linked with the particular representatives in those countries, please do not hesitate to reach us. And for those that would want to register their own country, please do not hesitate, because I would love to, you know, go throughout these countries and just hear, you know, the feedback, and just hear that we are living wholesome lives. And one day, it is my prayer and hope that one day I'll wear the stars of all the thousands of women that would have empowered.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful right there. So in closing, what would you want to say to people generally who are listening to you as the founder and leader of the Women's Support Network Africa?
I want to say you matter. You matter. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. No matter how you came to this world, you matter. So while we are on this earth, let's live worthy lives. Do not live half-heartedly. Do not live a life of pain. Let go and let God.
Let go and let God. The powerful words of Miss Sympathy Gwinya Sibanda right there. That is, she's the founder of the Women Writers Support Network Africa, and every time I say it, I pronounce it right, and I'm sure I did it right. So Sympathy, hey, thank you so much for coming through to Movers and Shakers once more. You are a what you call it, you always break new ground, and I second time coming back to the show, and wow, what a powerful initiative you're leading, and hopefully that the Lord continues to bless you and you go on and you know, continue to climb new heights, so to say.
Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you, Malvin.
All right. So that was Sympathy right there, our favorite cousin. And, well, I'm talking about the many hats that she wears. So I'm not going to sign out. She's the one who's going to sign out right here. So please, Miss Sympathy, do us justice and sign out for us on this program.
You've been listening to a powerful program. And thank you very much for always tuning in. Spread, share this to everyone. And remember, you matter.
I thought you were
going to
do it's your
grandma. Okay, everyone just does that to me. All right. Okay, fine. I'll do the cousins signing up. It's been your girl, Mangwenya, right here on Movers and Shakers. Until next time, please stay safe.
Okay.
You are listening to The Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.